Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
The Massachusetts congressional delegation remained largely intact in the 2020 election, with one exception. Congressman Joe Kennedy, who after 8 years representing the 4th District, will step aside in January. This after mounting an unsuccessful bid to unseat fellow Democrat Senator Ed Markey. We spoke to Kennedy about his time on Capitol Hill, and he told us he's proud of his work in the House.
I'll remember families that we tried to help, issues around trans rights, meeting with parents that had lost their children to gun violence in Boston, the opportunities to travel the country and meet people that are struggling and striving, but advancing themselves, their families, and our country.
Let me ask you about the election that just passed from the national point of view. A blue wave in Congress was predicted in 2020, but it failed to materialize. House Democrats, as you know, retained their majority, but actually lost seats. What do you say to voters and analysts who saw your bid to unseat Senator Markey, a fellow Democrat, as a waste of time, money, and a sideshow?
I'd say they were wrong. And I think what we have seen at this point, and I do believe this, that primaries are healthy for democracy. Democrats, as a party and certainly our system, should not devolve into one where we basically say, if you have won the seat once, you basically are able to have the opportunity to run unchallenged in perpetuity. I'm proud of the race that I ran. I'm proud of the issues that we highlighted and the support that I was able to generate.
It was such a tough race. What do you take away from it?
There's parts of the race that surprised me, right? I have and still do deep respect for Senator Markey and the contribution that he's made. I was surprised at the level of vitriol that came my way at times, and I'm not sure that was warranted or healthy.
I'm wondering, after the losses in the House in the election, there's definitely going to be, and you can already see it in some quarters, an internal push among House Democrats to move away from a liberal agenda on one side and a push toward a liberal agenda from the other side. How do you think Democrats reconcile that?
I'm not sure, Bob, you can wholly reconcile it, right? And I think that's actually a hallmark of a healthy, diverse party, right? If you strive to actually be a big tent party, which I believe a Democratic Party should be, celebrate that diversity and strike those common threads that unite us as Americans, as human beings. If you have that diversity, you're going to have differing views on how to get there. And what Democrats have to strive to do is get back to those threads and, I think, elevate that conversation in a way that actually strikes the chord on values without vilifying other parts of our party and parts of our country that are striving for that same goal, but might not wholly understand the language that is used, or might find some of that language not wholly reflective of what they perceive that policy to be. And look, I think there's a lot more listening that needs to be done. And the extent that folks say, hey, Democrats are going to settle this debate. No, we're not. We shouldn't. We're not the party that says that lines up behind uniformity of opinion of solution. Right. We're, I think, a party that says, hey, this is a big, loud cacophony of voices that is involved in this experiment, but we are going to keep striving to bring more people in.
What about the huge political division in the country right now? No better example of that than Joe Biden winning more votes than any other presidential candidate in history, and yet Donald Trump winning over 70 million votes himself. What do Democrats, what does Joe Biden need to do to try and heal that division?
I think the president-elect has been doing a tremendous job of trying to heal that division, on trying to say, hey, give each other a chance. Let's recognize the commonalities we share as Americans and fight for that common future. I think that change in leadership is critical. I think it's necessary, but obviously, Bob, it's not sufficient. This is something that each and every one of us has to do. And so, yes, I think when you see hate and bigotry and racism, misogyny play out on our streets, yes, you call it out for what it is. We leave that no quarter. But it's also, I think, calls on all of us to do a bit more listening, to understand why even in a state that is as quote-unquote progressive as Massachusetts, that Donald Trump still has, his voice still resonates here, particularly in communities that I represent, a community like Fall River, which I think when Bush and Cheney ran, they only got about 20% of the vote, and Donald Trump got over 40% of the vote in this past election. So it's worth giving some thought, particularly for a progressive movement that says we want to care about the people that are being left behind. We want to care about the folks that an economy is evolving so rapidly that people can't keep pace. We care about those folks who want to bring them along. Well, let's do some soul searching as to why many of those places are, in fact, voting for our opponents. Let's do some soul searching about what needs to be done, not just in terms of policy, but in terms of representation, in terms of presence, in terms of elevating those voices and celebrating them to make sure that they have a seat at the table too.
There's been some speculation about you going to work in some capacity in the Biden administration. Does that interest you at all?
I'm speculating about my own future. So there's been a lot of advice or ideas about what I'm going to do next. And I'm not certain of what that is yet. Obviously, look, if there's an opportunity to serve in a Biden administration, that's something I would welcome. You know, Bob, I've got a young family. I've got an extraordinary partner in my wife, Lauren, whose organization, Neighborhood Villages, is leading the charge here on access to affordable childcare, particularly in the midst of this pandemic. You know, to have an opportunity to actually not get on an airplane and stick around, spend some more time with my family and some more time even in Massachusetts isn't the worst thing in the world either. I don't think that you'll see me throw my hat in the ring for public office anytime soon.
Joe Kennedy, whatever you decide to do, very best of luck. And thank you very much for this conversation.
Always a pleasure, Bob. You too.